What is going on, Tappers? Happy Saturday. Hope you guys are all enjoying your weekend. I think that it is, you know, it's a good one. I mean, like I said, when if you guys have listened to the podcast this week or know the news, being unemployed on the weekend is a weird fucking feeling. It's definitely one of those things where you're just kind of like, it's another day. I mean, you have your friends around and you have things to do and sights to see and heading out to Brewfest this afternoon and then probably Brady Street days after. A little hungover this morning. Mitch and I went out. I almost made Mitch tape a podcast at Malone's to recap the Mike Moustakas deal, but Mitch said the only way I'm doing that is if I'm getting paid. I am not going to pay Mitch, not at least yet. I'll maybe pay Mitch later on in life, hopefully. But yeah, we're going to talk about the Moustakas deal. We're going to talk about how many bullets the Brewers have left in the chamber. I don't think they're done. David Stearns doesn't sound like he's done. And then talk about last night's win. Maybe even some Jamon Moore talk. I wanted to write about it, but I don't know if I'm going to have time, so maybe I'll include it into the podcast. But before we get started, you guys know where to find us: SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can also subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Those are all of the sites where you guys can get us. However you listen to your podcast, that's how you should do it. So let's jump right into things. Mike Moustakas is now a member of the Brewers. I think that was a little bit of a surprise to a lot of Brewer fans, including yours truly. It was rumored, definitely something that was brought up. People had chatted regarding if Moustakas could be a Brewer. Some people, including myself, thought it was kind of like the Spider-Man meme where it was just Travis Shaw and Mike Moustakas look at each other and they're basically the same player. I mean, body types are similar. Moustakas is a little heavier. But I mean, they're very similar stature, left-handed power bats, and yet he is still coming to the Brewers and Travis Shaw is moving over to second base. Brewers traded Brett Phillips and Jorge Lopez for Mike Moustakas, not Travis Shaw. And Moose is going to be the third baseman. So there is a Moose back in Milwaukee. There is a Greek version of Giannis. Not seriously, because the only way Mike Moustakas is that is if like he has like a Carlos Beltran run and carries them to the World Series. But he is the most notable Greek player on the team since George Kitaris, the Greek god of walks and the man who fucked everything in Milwaukee. If you know anything about George Kitaris. I mean, George Kitaris, talk about a handsome human being. I'm not going to get off track here, though. But anyways, so the Brewers do acquire Moustakas. Moustakas is an exciting talent. He's batting about .240 this year. He has 20 home runs, 60 RBIs. He's had an RC plus of over 100 in the last 4 years, which is usually a good way to know someone's value. RC plus, by the way, for those who are not analytically sound, is the new WAR. That is where we're going. We're not talking about WAR anymore. We're talking about RC plus. So get on that. Also, his K rate is very low. He does not strike out very much. He's only has a K rate of 15%. So if you want to say what's the difference between him and Travis Shaw, Moustakas doesn't strike out much against lefty or against pitchers. He also is pretty good in terms against lefties. He's not Christian Yelich, who's hitting like .351, but Christian Yelich is hitting everything on the fucking planet. I mean, the baseballs are looking like beach balls to Yelly right now. I mean, he is just otherworldly good right now. And I think baseball's getting behind. I hope the Christian Yelich MVP talk is coming. I don't know when it will be, but my body's ready for it. I'm ready for it. So the Brewers bringing in a guy like Moustakas is someone who can definitely play against lefties. I imagine he's going to hit probably either fourth or sixth in the order. I don't think he's going to be hitting six. I think the Brewers will kind of reshape their lineup. I think a guy like Lorenzo Cain will probably go back to the leadoff spot with Yelich, then Aguilar, and then probably Moustakas hitting fourth, and then fifth maybe Braun to get a buffer if he's in the game, or you might go Shaw Moustakas back-to-back and just know, Council's not a huge on lefty-lefty, but that's something that could change middle of the game. I mean, we know that Travis Shaw, it might not be a you know, second baseman down the stretch when it's like the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. But the other question is, do you want to take that bat out of the lineup? I mean, it's a give or take, right? I think you have to. Craig Counsell's really good at it. As my dad said this morning, he's a baseball rat. Like, he is as situational can get. I mean, yesterday, we'll talk about yesterday's game, but I mean, Counsell just has a feel for the, A, his team, and B, he makes the right move, I would say, 8 out of 10 times. And that's all. I mean, that's all you can ask for. I mean, no one's going to be perfect. I mean, I know that we expect our managers and our coaches to be perfect, and that's just what fans expect. And yet it's an unrealistic expectation. I don't think Counsell's a dumbass. I think there are games he's lost us, but what manager hasn't lost their team a game? I mean, it's part of baseball. But I don't think Counsell is in that Ned Yost, Ron Renicki, Ken Maka category where it's like he's cost us multiple games. He's just a it's just the same bullshit all the time. Like, you know, Counsell to me is as good of a coach as there is in baseball. I think he's deserving of NL Manager of the Year. I don't know if he's going to get it. We'll see. I mean, a long way to go. Obviously, Philly and Atlanta have their cases as well with their surprising seasons. But yes, so he'll be able to play with an order. He'll be able to play with Travis Shaw mostly at second base. I know that Travis Shaw at second base is a major concern for a lot of people, including myself. I think the idea that Travis Shaw can't play second base is like, well, he's a baseball player, right? You know, Eric Thames, I don't think anyone thought Eric Thames could be a right fielder, but Eric Thames is a right fielder. He's all right in that position. You know, or a left fielder for that matter. And then you also look at it from a, you know, DJ LeMahieu is a gold glove second baseman, and he's 6'4", 215. Travis Shaw is 6'4", 230. I don't think Shaw is going to, you know, immediately get the position. I think it's going to take a lot of time. I think there are going to be days where he's really tested, and there are going to be days where he's not. And the way that shifts work and the way that other things work, the Brewers are going to have some protection. I think the bringing Orlando Arcia back up to the majors was a prelude for this deal. I think that David Stearns wanted to make sure that he had a guy like Arcia on the other side to A, be sort of that leader of the middle infield, but also help coach Shaw and teach Shaw just different things. I assume those guys are going to be working really hard together. It'll be very interesting to see how Shaw handles things like double plays and other things of that ilk. I think it's going to be a learning curve, man. It is going to be a ride. I think Brewer fans have to be patient. I don't think this is going to be one of those things where we as fans can just sort of be like overreacting. Like, if Shaw commits 3 errors tonight, we're just going to have to ride it out. We're going to have, like, you have to develop some patience. You cannot overreact. So this is me telling you all to settle the fuck down and don't worry about Travis Shaw at second base at least for 10 games. Let's do a 10-day test. So there's 10 games, right? So they play, they're in San Francisco for 2 more. They're in LA for 4, so that's 6. So after the Colorado series in Milwaukee, which I believe is next Sunday, let's have a conversation next Sunday about how Travis Shaw is as a second baseman. So that's nine times. Odds are he probably plays 7 and 9. He may play 8 and 9. He might only play 6 and 9, which nice. But I mean, 75% or more of those games are going to be Travis Shaw related. So there are, you know, it's, I think, one of those things where Shaw is definitely a guy who I think can really mean and make a difference here. And I have a lot of faith in Travis Shaw. I think Travis Shaw also knows that he wants to shut up the haters. He knows that people think he can't do this. And never doubt somebody when people are like, you can't do this. You can't be this person. Shaw will want to prove everybody wrong. He is as hard of a worker as anybody on this team. And yes, I mean, and so the other thing too, if you want to get like conspiracy theory, Bart Winkler brought this up this morning. I think it's worth mentioning, you know, could this be a prelude to an even bigger move? Could Shaw be dangled out there for a guy like Jacob DeGrom, where the Mets get a guy who's ready to play, who's part of sort of your franchise right off the bat, and you could convince the Mets to do a deal for, you know, Shaw, say it's like Shaw,
Corey Ray, Luis Ortiz, and maybe somebody else for DeGrom. That might even be too low, but Shaw would add value. I know the idea of, well, they wouldn't have a third baseman next year. They'd have a hole at third base. They'd have to go out and sign a third baseman. Maybe Moustakas is that guy. Maybe that's what they would do. I mean, Moustakas does have a mutual option at $15 million. Odds are he's not going to take that. I know he did have a rough free agency, so maybe that does spook him a bit, and he takes the $15 million, and then you kick it down the hole. I don't know. It's David Stearns. You know, plays chess while we play checkers. That's always the case. It's Stearns we trust. And so now the question is, will he make another move? Will he get a pitcher? Will he get a starting pitcher? I think he will. I don't know which starting pitcher that is. So last night on Twitter, I was kind of just racking my brain because, you know, I wouldn't say that this broke my brain, but this definitely was not, you know, something I was ready for. So my thought is like, okay, he could trade a guy like Eric Thames to the Yankees for Sonny Gray. I mean, I think the Yankees do that deal. Yankees need outfielders. They get some depth. They get some power. I mean, you add Eric Thames to that lineup already, and holy shit. And the Brewers get back Sonny Gray, who is, you know, a guy who's struggled a lot this year, but he has the Derek Johnson relationship. He's a guy the Brewers were in very hot pursuit last year. I believe he has a year and a half of control left, so it wouldn't even be a rental. They've been rumored with Matt Harvey. I guess you could do something like that, but I don't think you'd want to give Thames to the Reds just for the fact of, like, you already have Scooter, who's an all-star there. Why make another all-star in Cincinnati? And I don't know if the Reds really do need him. But, yeah, I mean, you could see Domingo traded. Now, if you want to talk about bigger fish, you know, a guy like Kevin Gausman. I mean, Ken Rosenthal said the Brewers were in serious talks with the Baltimore Orioles, and he really couldn't put a finger on who they were talking about. Now, it could have been Jonathan Scope and Gausman. I mean, you could argue maybe Shaw is in that deal, and Jonathan Scope's not your second baseman. And Jonathan Scope's a damn good second baseman. He strikes out a little bit, but the guy's been on absolute fucking fire, and he's definitely going to get moved before this deadline. Gausman, as Wade Miley said, former teammate, he has number one shit. And Adam McAlvey said, well, can I just call it stuff? He goes, no. It's number one shit. So Miley basically has said that the Orioles rushed him. And Mitch brought up a good point that could Gausman sort of be Derek Johnson's version of Jake Arrieta, where he takes a pitcher, and I know the Orioles thing, and I'm not trying to, I know the correlation is there, but, like, it's more about the fact that, he has made sure that made sure that Gausman got rushed, and that now he can kind of work with him and make him into a legitimate pitcher, and who knows, maybe a number one pitcher at some point. So that is possible. I mean, that's possible for them to go after a guy like Gausman. I think Archer and DeGrom are probably out of the question. I don't know though. I have no idea where David Stern sits. I mean, the idea of Archer and Wilson Ramos is very attractive. Wilson Ramos is on the DL, but according to Mark Tompkin of the Tampa Bay Times, the Brewers have checked in on Ramos. Ramos would be an excellent bat to add to the order as a catcher, which is a position I think the Brewers definitely do need. And I think that's a move to me that seems more logical than getting a pitcher, but you never know. You also could look at the waiver deadline. Like, don't sleep on that either. I mean, remember, Justin Verlander was probably the biggest acquisition. Yeah, the biggest move made last year. I mean, I think Verlander, for all that he did, he probably won the Astros the World Series. And he was acquired in August, late August. So I think you just kind of have to hold your horses. You just got to see what's possible. I mean, maybe it doesn't come till August. And I think it's all about patience. That's all we're preaching today. All right, so let's chat a little bit about last night's game. Man, great win again. The Brewers continue to string them together. They've won four of their last five. They're 1.5 back of the Chicago Cubs. They're now 3 up on the wild card race through the interchanging teams that Diamondbacks currently reside that spot. But the Brewers continue to just kind of win it scrappy. And that's something that's refreshing to see. I think you really enjoy that
when you're facing a guy like Madison Baumgartner, where you have to get runs in any way possible. RBI groundouts, a timely single, big hits. I mean, Christian Yelich had two doubles again last night. And Chase Anderson was fantastic. I mean, he didn't have the strikeout numbers, but Chase pitched a solid six innings. He had no issue in the first inning, got through the first inning very quickly, actually. And then the Brewers bullpen held the door. I mean, Jerry Jeffries did give a little heart-inducing there with Buster Posey loading the bases. They had no business not getting out Alan Hansen. I mean, Jeffries has struggled now in two straight starts. My guess is he's down today. I'm sure the Brewers will probably employ Josh Hader if they have a lead, with Julius Chacin going on the mound, with Hader and Knable both pitching the last two nights. I wouldn't be surprised to see Soria back out there this evening as well. Maybe he's closing the game. I know they do, I guess, use Knable for three straight, and we'll see how Chacin does. I mean, I do think this is a favorable lineup for Chacin. I think the hole he's bad against lefties, I guess, is still a thing, but he's shown, like, he's been a good pitcher this year, and I don't know who you really are scared of left-handed-wise. I mean, no Brandon Belt, you know, Buster Posey, Andrew McCutchen. I mean, I think this is a very good spot for Chacin. Johnny Cueto goes for the Giants. Cueto has amazing career numbers against the Brewers. He's been dominant in the past. I'm not really sure what Cueto's done this year. I mean, he's a sub-3 ERA, and if he didn't have such a big contract, he'd be an interesting trade piece, but he has way too big of a contract for the Giants to move, and he's been good since coming off the DL, so we'll see if Cueto can keep that up against the Brewers. Probably another low-scoring affair. Be a little earlier tonight as they start at 8 o'clock instead of the 9:15 start time that we've had out here on the West Coast. Be an enjoyable watch outside of Jack's. Hopefully better than last Brady Street days. Last Brady Street days, the Brewers and Cubs were playing, and the Brewers lost in the 11th inning. Jason Hayward knocked in a run at Miller Park. Brewers lost 2-1. It was the fucking worst. That game was awesome, though, because people were like living and dying on every pitch outside of Jack's. That's right. I basically didn't talk to anybody, didn't really hang out with anybody. I just shut everybody off from the world and just my Brady Street days was watching the Brewer game. So who knows? Maybe I'll do that again. If you are out at Brady Street days, I always will buy beers, and I don't know why people don't take me up on this offer. Like, if you find me, you see me around Jack's, say you like the podcast, say you listen today, we'll get you a beer, we'll get you set up. If you're going to Brewfest this afternoon, I'm also going to be there. Can't really buy anything because all the beer is free. We'll have a beer. Like, just come and say hi, and we'll chat. We'll love to chat to you about the deadline. We didn't really get any Packer talk in, but all I have to say for now is the Jamon Moore hype train is pulling into the station. Either you get on board or you get fucking lost, because that is a real thing. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about training camp on Sunday, since I plan to do the podcast prior to the Brewers Giants game at 3 o'clock. So we're going to have the podcast done early. Hopefully I'm not too hungover, and probably do some Packer training talk, and we'll recap whatever happened on Saturday and if any trades went down in baseball that affect the Brewers. All right, guys, take care of yourself. Have a great Saturday. It's a lovely day here in Milwaukee. I hope it's just as lovely wherever you're listening in. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.